Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. On August 25th, 2016, roughly after my first full month at Emmaus, I had a unique encounter with our gospel text for today, the parable of the Good Samaritan. I just finished reading the text when all of a sudden a car makes a right turn onto Idaho outside of my office. The flashers on the car were on blinking, and the car was going slower and slower and slower until it halted to a stop and went kaput. A young man got out of the car looking distressed. His face, without saying a word, said, "This is not good and very expensive." And having just read the text, what was I supposed to do? Was I to continue sitting in my air-conditioned office, in my comfy chair, doing some work and emails? Or was I at least to go outside in the hot August sun and see if I could somehow help this man in any way? The text made it quite clear what I was to do. And so I went out and talked with the man and see if I could do anything to help him. And after talking, we easily decided there was nothing we could do. So I helped him get a tow truck and find a new ride home. The parable of the Good Samaritan is a common story with a common point that we are all familiar with. And it's one that even the world around us knows as well. We can turn on the TV or read a headline in the paper that might say something like this: "Good Samaritan steps forward," or "Woman engages in Good Samaritan act, risking her life," or "A generous Good Samaritan pays for blank." This morning, as we hear this well-known parable, I want you to think about and focus on this question. And the question is this: how do you fit into the parable? Who are you in the story? And as you answer that question, you'll really see the meaning of the text open up and unfold before you. And so Luke tells us a lawyer, an expert in the Old Testament law and scriptures, stands up and he approaches Jesus to test him. And so he tells him, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And it's a good question, one that maybe we might ask ourselves, but it's a strangely worded one. He asks Jesus, "What shall I do to inherit?" Do you actually do anything for an inheritance? No. Inheritances are given, they're not earned. Inherit stresses the gracious nature of salvation and eternal life. It's God's gift. It's not something we can do or merit or earn. And Jesus, being the good teacher that he is, doesn't tell this man, "You can't, what are you thinking?" He doesn't say, "Reword and then tell me your question." He doesn't say, "I thought you were an expert. Why are you telling me this?" Instead, he answers his question with one of his own. And so Jesus asks the expert, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" He's asking for his interpretation. And so the expert answers, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength, and your neighbor as yourself." Jesus actually gave this same answer when someone asked him, "What is the chief commandment?" The answer is a summary of the law: love God and love others. It stresses complete and loving devotion to God and caring concern towards those around us. And so Jesus tells the man, "You're right, you've answered correctly. Do this and you will live." And the man is right, isn't he? If a person perfectly fulfills the law, he or she will receive eternal life at the last day. But God expects perfect obedience. 99.9% won't cut it. It has to be 100. And as sinners, we cannot and aren't able to render this. And the man seems to incense the impossibility of fulfilling these requirements. And so he seeks to limit God's uncompromising demands. And wanting to justify himself, the expert lawyer says, "And who is my neighbor?" The man thinks he can love God with everything that he is and has in his mind. That's not the problem. That's the easy part, he thinks. The neighbor is the challenging part. But just who is that? The word neighbor means whoever happens to be nearby or close at hand. And really, just who is that? Is it limited to family and friends and fellow countrymen? Does status, sex, or situation play a role in that? Does this really mean everybody, even those we might not like? Who is the one that I am to love as myself? Who is included? The man wants to know. And so Jesus tells him the famous parable that we all know to make this point. He says, a man is going by himself on the 20-mile journey from Jerusalem down to Jericho through the mountains on the windy road. And as he does, he's ambushed by some robbers. And they take his belongings, they strip him, leaving him naked and humiliated. They rough him up, leaving him half dead and in bad shape. And so the poor man is lying on the dusty, dirty, rocky road, naked, bleeding, groaning, and baking in the hot sun, left for dead. And now by chance, Jesus says, a priest, a man of the cloth, walks on past. Certainly, he would do something. After all, there is the old adage, practice what you preach. Could the priest really leave the man lying there for dead? But he passes by on the other side and just keeps on walking. But not all is lost for this man. A Levite, a temple worker, is on the same road and is coming up to the man. Maybe the priest didn't want to be unclean and unable to serve by touching the man. Maybe he was busy or wanted to get home. Maybe he feared putting himself in danger. Maybe he was too important. Certainly the Levite could and would not do the same. Right? But he does. And he passes by on the other side. And next, a Samaritan, a person completely opposite of the Levite and priest, walks on by. This person has a polluted bloodline and is seen to be outside of God's salvation. People saw Samaritans as heretics. What will he do? It's practically obvious. If the priests and Levites didn't lift a hand to help, why would the no good, rotten, dirty, unpure Samaritan really be any different? And like the others, he too comes to the man but doesn't pass on by. He has compassion for the stranger. His insides are deeply moved for the man. He can't leave him there, half dead, naked, bloodied, groaning, and in need. So first he binds up his wounds. Next he pours oil and wine on his wound. First century antibacterial cream, so to say. Then he puts the man on his own animal and continues on foot. When they all arrive in the inn, he spends the night with him, caring for him and tending to his needs. In the morning, before the Samaritan departs, he leaves 2 days' worth of wages and promises the innkeeper that he'll pick up the rest of the bill. Who is the neighbor to this wounded man? It's obvious, right? And the expert replies, the one who showed him mercy. The beginning of our sermon, I asked you to figure out and think, who are you in this story? Who are you in this parable? How do you fit in? Let me put the story this way. A professor I had once would tell it like this. He said, I was going downhill fast and didn't even know it. Even before I was born, I had fallen into the clutches of sin, beating me down, leaving me spiritually dead and blind. I was just lying there, helpless and unable to do anything. Nothing I could do could save me. And no one else could because they were stuck in the same sin that I was. Unless someone had done something fast, I would have perished forever in hell and in the devil's clutches. But then came along my good Samaritan who saw me and took pity on me. He picked me up in his arms and delivered me to safety. He cared for me himself and promised to come back for me. Now I'm bandaged, healed, and loving life. Whose story is that? Who are you in this parable? Who are you in the story? The parable of the Good Samaritan is your story. It's everyone's story, with Jesus always as the hero. First of all, it's not about anything that we are to do. That is secondary. It's really about what Christ has done to save us in our need. All of us by nature are dead in sin and helpless to save ourselves. In baptism, Jesus picks us up in his arms and delivers us from death and the devil to life eternal. The price he paid was his own life on the cross. And he continues today to come back with forgiveness and daily care till he finally comes again to take us to heaven. That finally is your story. That is how we relate to the parable. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus. Amen.